greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Just ask, Father, for your help, Lord, to be faithful to you, to walk with you, Father. Lord, to draw nearer to you, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Give us words to speak, Father. Again, we just thank you. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to, I think we'll begin in Hebrews chapter 3. I think we'll just begin verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope and firm until the end." Today, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." I want to just start there. Beginning as Christ was faithful as a son over his house. And what I want to talk about this morning is just talk to us. It says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And this was written to the Hebrew brethren that Paul was writing to, and just reminding them of their history. You know, it's so easy for us to look back on these people in the desert. You know, it was whenever it talks about them being in the desert for 40 years. They saw all the miracles that had been done. They had seen everything. I mean, they'd just seen what God had did and how good he was to them, you know, from the deliverance from Pharaoh, you know, the parting of the waters, the miracles over and over again. And yet, every little time, you know, whenever there was a struggle or something that they didn't agree with or didn't like, they were just so quick just to turn on God, you know, and just do whatever they wanted to do. And that's what he's reminding us. That's what this is written for, is to remind us not to harden our hearts. You know, we can, this is a sad thing about religion. We rest in being religious instead of resting and trusting in God. And that's what he's trying to get our attention here and what he's trying to share today. You know, the song was saying, "Near my God to thee." You know, we drift as a people. You know, it's, we need to stay focused. You know, as we live in these last days. You know, I've told somebody again this week, you know, about the things that are going on in the world. This is Revelation, the book of Revelation. The end of the book is happening right in front. We're living it. Happening right in front of our eyes. You know, it's just, we've heard about this, and now these times are upon us. Satan's power is as powerful today or more than it ever has been. And, you know, it just, God's voice as just being silenced. You know, we in Acts we see the miracles that were done, you know, the great things that were done. And just like all other times in history, you know, there's a start, just the children of Israel here. The great miracles and all those things that happened. And then 40 years going through the wilderness. And we forgot about all those things. And the miracles weren't as prominent. They were way down and the people didn't recognize them. Every period, you know, starts out with a bang and then just tapers off to where you don't hardly even see God anymore. That's just the way it's always happened. And those that are faithful are those who are able to go through those low periods where God hasn't done anything in 40 years. He hasn't performed a miracle like He did for years and years and years. Or maybe the one that, like the manna, you know, it becomes so familiar with us, it's not a miracle anymore. And we forget about those things. And it's just because our hearts are hardened and they're tended that way. And so what He's trying to do is encourage us. You know, not just to rest in our religion, but to continue to rest in who He is. Today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers were tried me by testing me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and they always go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. See, that's part of what He's trying to teach us here. His ways. You know, like I said, in the early church, there was miracles. There was people being raised from the dead right and left. You know, I mean, it's just a powerful movement. And 2,000 years later, you know, we don't see, you know, God's still able to do that. But He just doesn't as much. And some say, well, that's just because you don't have a faith. No, His ways are, He has a big thing in the beginning and they get towards the end. And it's the people who are faithful all the way through. These are His ways. He starts things and then expects us just to believe them and continue to believe them without having to entertain us all the time with new miracles or new things. You know, in our Christian walk, you know, when we first meet the Lord and our sins are forgiven and we're just clean and all excited and ready to tell other people about it, you know, that's all exciting. Well, then 10 years later or 20 years later, 40 years later, you know, all those exciting emotions and feelings are not there, you know, like they were. And now we have to just live every day. And sometimes, well, where is God, you know, all the time? And we begin to think, you know, where is He sometimes? And we just don't see all those things. And that's when it requires us to be faithful. You know, you start out in the very beginning and all excited, you know, and anybody can have faith when those things are going on. We see it right in front of us, but it's that lull or that time before He comes again and starts another thing, you know, that it's those few that are waiting and holding on through that time. Not only that, but in our own lives, you know, and it's the older, the more mature you get, the less entertained you will be. It's a time of really resting and trusting in Him. And that's what He's trying to instill in us. And that's what Paul is reminding us. You know, he goes through the histories again. Knowing His ways. That's important. It says 12. It says, take care, brethren, that there be Be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It's possible to fall away from the living God. Beware, he says. Be careful. You know, there's a lot of things. And like I said, right now, in this time in the world, it's just Satan's power is doing the miracles. Satan's power is doing all of the things that are going on in the world that seems like he's more and more powerful. You know, and it seems like God's power is being diminished. And so this is a time whenever we've got to just really hang on. And you've got to reach down inside of you and get a hold of that true heart of faithfulness and that true heart of belief. And just hang on. I mean, as the end times come, you know, a lot of times, well, we'll just glow and glow and glow and get brighter and brighter. But the Bible tells of a darkness where the light can't even penetrate it. You know, we think that we ought to be having all this excitement about God, but and God's just right there with us and we feel Him and see Him everywhere, you know. But as Satan's power gets more and more and more, it's just like everything else. There can't be two in charge. And this is Satan's world. And we are entered into it to be that light. But as that darkness gets more powerful around us, the voice gets quieter and quieter. The voice of God. It's not because it's not powerful enough. It's not because he's not one. It's just being drowned out by everything else. And we're so quick to be caught up in all the other things and we don't hear his voice. That's why it's this diligence, this take care, brethren. This emphasis, this importance of taking care. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I don't want to paint a bleak picture, but I want to paint a serious picture. This is a dangerous time and a perilous time to be alive. You know, the things that we've, you know, every part of it is being overwhelmed by the power of God. And it just takes more and more diligence for us to be faithful to the Lord. It says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. That's repeated again. That quote is repeated in the same chapter two times. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? You know, we think about that. You know, whenever we've talked about it, about the few who be saved. You know, when you think of all the people who came out of Egypt, they were delivered. They were saved. They were set free. And yet how many of them entered the promised land? There was only two of them. And their test came, you know, whenever they were in the wilderness, the 12 spies went out and only two of them said, we can still take this kingdom. It looked overwhelming. And 10 of them were afraid. These spies that went into the country and they saw the power of those who God wanted them to conquer, and they got afraid and they said, we can't do it. They'll squish us. They'll kill us. But two of them said, we can do this. You know, we look at the dark world today and we look at the power of Satan today and we can get afraid and we can get scared and we can want to give up and want to run. But now is the time. That's where the test is. whenever things look bleak, that we can still be what God wants us to be today. Don't harden your heart with fear. With whom was he angry those for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that we are not able to enter in because of unbelief. You know, we think of disobedience as breaking a law or breaking a rule. But that's not where disobedience, that's not the heart of disobedience. People can be trained to be rule keepers, but they cannot be trained to trust God. That is something that you have to do. You have to have that faith. You have to believe. You have to trust. You know, over and over again, we see people who kept rules. And it's going on today. There's people who can obey all the rules. They can fix their own little rule book and live by it. But that doesn't mean we have faith. You know, some people say, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And there's people that just keep commandments or keep laws and keep rules all over the place. But do they love him? In John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. You know, I want to think about that just for a minute. God is love. You know, we think about this. The boys had their lesson this morning, and they talked about their families. You know, when we think about God loving us, that loving us, you know, we think whenever God loves us, we all get a warm, glowy feeling in our heart. Oh, God loves me. God loves us. He loves all us good people. You know, that's what we want to think. That's what we think about when God loves us. But, you know, the boys talked about their families and the church family. And that it's easy for us to think that, oh, God loves us. That's why he died for us. But, you know, everyone in this world, he loved the bad people. He loved the people that are bad. He didn't just come for us. He didn't just come because, well, I think they'll like me. The point I'm trying to say is, you know, it's easy for us to love our family, even though we struggle and have problems and kind of have problems once in a while with each other. But we can still love each other. But you know, everyone in this world is a brother or a sister. And everyone in this world is part of the family of God. You know, a lot of times our religion, we kind of think, well, it's our little group, you know, and we'll love them. But that group over there, they think a little bit different than we do. They dress a little different, or they talk a little different. They have a little different thing. And so we can't fellowship with them. But you know, Jesus came into the world of people who disagreed with him, and he loved them. He loved them all. Even to the ones that, while he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That didn't mean he just got along with them all the time. That didn't mean everything just went peachy. They were crucifying him. But he loved them until the end. And that's the way he will with us. You know, beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, and that goes deeper than just loving your brother. Because he loves you. That goes deep enough to where love those who don't love you. You know, and I'm not talking about the feeling, the emotion. I'm talking about loving them. Like I said, don't get along. Maybe there's a lot of things that they would hurt us anytime they could. But we can still love them. That doesn't mean you have to go out of your way and just tell them you love them. You know, you just don't let those things grow. That's where being release, forgiveness comes in. You know, it's just, we can still love them just like they were our brothers. That's the one that says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected. This is where we see God, when we're like Him. This is how the world sees God, when we're like Him. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. You know, it's not saying I can be as religious as all get out and I can separate everybody that disagrees with me and I can be holy and stand all by myself. That's not the way you prove that. You prove this and you reflect this because you have a true love one for another. You love the world, the people. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. This word confess, you know, I confess that Jesus is the Savior. That means I'm saved. But whenever we confess is we agree with, we're in alignment with, we're reflecting Him. That's what it means. We are reflecting that God came into this world to save us. We are agreeing with that testimony. That's what it means to confess it. It means that it's a part of us. Because that's who Christ is. That's how we can reflect to the world who He is. And that's how we do it. Not by seeing how religious we can be. Not by seeing, trying to be more holy or holier than everyone else. But to be like Jesus. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There's not a separation. It's all the same, all one. If God's in us, He abides in us. And we reflect His character. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. And I've said it a bunch before. You know, the reason a lot of people can't love is because they've never tasted love. The reason a lot of people can't forgive is because they've never tasted forgiveness. The reason we can reflect God's love is because we have seen it, we've tasted it, we've felt His mercy, we've felt His, know His forgiveness, and we can give that to somebody else because we've tasted it. And that's what He's talking about. There's no need to fear in that. You know, I've told people, you know, that have a hard time forgiving or, you know, have a hard time wondering whether they've been forgiven or not. All we have to do is, wait a minute, has anyone forgiven you? And you knew they forgave you? I mean, you've done something wrong and someone forgave you and you knew it was forgiven. You've tasted that. And as God was in the world, and now we're reflecting Him, if we've tasted that from a human, how much more? You know, nobody's seen God. But if I've been forgiven by someone, I've seen God. If I've been loved, and if I've been shown mercy, and I've been shown these things, I have seen God. Because His love is living in us. We love because He first loved us. I think I'll just stop there. We love because He first loved us. As the times get darker and darker and darker, we need to draw nearer and nearer and nearer to God and taste those things and reflect those things that He's shown us. Learn those things that He's shown us. That's where you find Him. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet at Wilbur's this evening at 6 o'clock. Everyone's welcome.
Mount Vernon at 2:30 for the singers.
Okay. Brother Ishmael in Columbia sends his greetings. All right. Well, God bless you all. Part peace.